Don't worry, we'll cut out most of this. I'll count us in when we're gonna go fully live. Let me know when you're good, you've caught in the vibe of the song, and we'll fake it through.
Okay, I hear you.
It's a part of this song. I can't keep I just completely break down every time.
My favorite part is when Lumba comes in, like with the last one for the red beans.
Oh, that's the part of the song I can't. That's
my favorite.
I can't ever not get emotional. Ever.
So let me know when you're ready.
I'm ready.
Ready? Okay, you can stop the song then.
I'm over one more over the engine now. I'm over your bird ball. I'm over the money down.
My friend, stop the song. You guys ready? Okay, we're going to count us in. One, two, three. We're live. Let's go.
Wow.
Wow. Wow. Leah.
Yes.
Amazing song choice. Why? That's all I got to say. Just why?
You know what? I have quite a few songs that, you know, I really love, but that one speaks to me, right? Something about, you know, even like you said, you know, who would have known, right, that this poor little guy will become this big person that everybody gets to hear about, right? It's just so beautiful because we all have dreams, right? And, you know, it's amazing. It's like he took my life and just captured it. It's pretty cool. It's neat.
Wow. Yeah, who knew? And I saw your pictures from 96 too, so I know.
You've come a long way. Is that what you're trying to say, Doc?
You know what? I even have more hidden pictures. I have to bring them out, but it's pretty neat.
It is.
And I say this all the time. This podcast is becoming the unofficial Daddy Lumba podcast. Like I feel, and maybe speaking to our generation, right? Like we always looked at Lumba as for our parents and we were listening, but it was really just telling our story of growing up and like where we were aspiring to be. And I love it.
Yeah, yes. Beautiful. Absolutely gorgeous. The one and only Daddy Dia. What is this song, by the way? What's the song title?
Yeah, Leah.
And who's the artist?
It's Daddy Lumba and the title is Harry.
I think it's one of my favorite Daddy Lumba songs. It has everything that Lumba is, right? So it has the gospel, the soul, the good music, and it also has the shade that Daddy Lumba brings in every song. And also the dirtiness of his songs snuck in there here and there, right? Verse two is my favorite just because he roundabout way gets in there and you're like, wait, yes. Hold on. That's what he said. Oh, okay.
Where's it come from? Yeah. You know what's funny? This whole album is an album of remixes. He basically took his classics.
Yes.
And same lyrics, no different rhythm. Different beats, that's it, and sold it, and people were all over it. Exact same
right.
thing,
right?
Who does
all
that?
10 minutes of it, right? All 10 minutes of it.
It's absolutely absurd. He's basically just listing his songs, other it's incredible.
What is our phrase of the day today?
Phrase of the day is Yanom Sania Fa Jing, which is, you know, while we drink, we plot, we scheme, we think. So, yeah, that's our phrase to discuss. We'll talk more about it.
Yes.
Looking forward to that.
Yes, yes, yes. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, once again. My name is Sullivan Kwame Radio. I go by Sal.
And my name is Samuel Akwesi Boateng, and I go by Sam. And welcome to our podcast, Doctor.
Or an Embarrassment, where we profile the life of the immigrant child in the diaspora.
This is essentially the immigrant's guide to disappointing your parents. And this season, we are highlighting entrepreneurship in a special season for you all.
Wow, yes, absolutely. And we've got a brilliant entrepreneur with us, Madam Leah Ajinim Wating.
Woo, 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 woo. Welcome, Leah.
AKA
welcome,
Messi Kukwe.
Hey. We are honored to have the CEO of CEOs in the house with us today.
Yes.
So welcome, Leah.
I think the pleasure is all mine. I mean, from the moment I listened to you guys' first season, from the first time I listened to the first episode, I was hooked, you know, because I can relate. Oh my goodness, everything in there, everything that you guys talk about. So I think the pleasure is rather mine and not the other way around. So thank you guys for inviting me.
Oh, thank you for your love and support over the last year and a half or so since we started. It's just been amazing. You've always been there, so we appreciate it.
Thank you.
And so we wanted to get you on, and we wanted to get to know you better, and we wanted our listeners to get to know you better. So what we're going to do is we're going to play a little lightning round. It's word association, first thing that comes to mind. If you need time to think about it, you can say pass, and we'll get back to it at the end.
Sure.
No pressure, no wrong answers, unless it's something I don't like. So
this game is like word association, but we're not psychoanalyzing you. Okay.
Cool. Doctor will diagnose you after this.
Absolutely, yes. Okay, first question, birthplace.
I'll say Ghana, but Kumasi. Okay.
And where's your family from in Ghana?
Okay, so my mom is from Isenimpon. So Isenimpon is by Ajosaway. Right? So we're just behind Yasantwa there. Okay. And my dad is from Kote. Kote is just literally right behind Tech, right? So it's practically Kumasi right now.
Okay.
Yes.
We're matrilineal, so you're from Ajinimpong.
Ajinimpong. Yes.
Okay. Okay. And at what age did you immigrate?
Okay, so I came to Canada when I was 13 years old.
Okay, it's a lot of us. when did you last go back to GH, or first time you went back to GH after you immigrated?
So I came at 13 and I went back when I was 19 years old. Okay. And we make a huge effort to go. We go practically every 2 years.
Oh, that's amazing.
Wow. But yeah, that's pretty cool.
What's your favorite Ghanaian movie?
I think someone has said that one before. I don't remember. Oh, I know the title, Matters of the Heart.
Well, Matters of the Heart. I love it. It is one of the greatest Ghanaian movies of all time. I know the song is my favorite. I know what song, you know what song it is. Oh, Nico.
Yes. Yes.
Sakina.
Sakina. Oh, I love it. I love it.
Nico. Oh, classics. Okay. We know your favorite Ghanaian song, so I'll let Sam ask the next question.
Oh, but we don't. Are you sure you know her favorite Ghanaian song?
Yes. Favorite Ghanaian song? Madam, tell us.
My favorite Ghanaian song. Definitely the Hari. Harry is my favorite.
Yeah,
Ghanaian song. Yes,
we're checking. Favorite Ghanaian food.
Ooh, that would have to be banku.
Oh, nice.
With okra or what with side? Or with pepper.
I think with pepper, right? Because okra.
Oh, thank
is
you.
One time thing, and that's
thank
it.
Thank you.
Yeah, okra. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Banku with pepper is life, man. Every Ghanaian movie, when they want to show somebody's poor, they show them eating Banku or Dokun with pepper. I'd be like, yo, listen, this is luxury. Oh, gosh. All right. So, outdooring or wedding?
Ooh, you know what? I want to say none.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay. I want to say none, but if we had to, I would say wedding.
Okay.
Jollof or watch it?
Jollof.
Ooh. Malt or Fanta?
Ooh, that's a good one. Fanta.
Oh, yes. It's because she's sweet, so she understands the sweetness is what you need.
She's sweet enough already.
Peanut soup or light soup?
Light soup.
Oh yeah. Woman after my own
ridiculous.
Heart.
Afrobeat or highlight?
Ooh, definitely highlight.
Okay.
Adwa or Azonto?
Adwa.
Okay, KLM and Adenta, Delta.
I'm a KLM baby.
Your top three Ghanaian artists of all time.
Oh my gosh, that's a big one. Okay. So I know we have a lot of legends, but I want to give some of the new people an opportunity.
Okay. All right.
Definitely say Kofi Kanata.
Oh.
Yes.
Kanata's and brilliant. Then
Kim Promise for sure.
Yes.
Any day, all day.
Okay.
And I'll go with Kojenchi.
Ooh, the maestro.
The Mr. Music Man himself. Yes. All right, and finally, doctor or an embarrassment?
Ooh, okay, so I would say, growing up, I would have said doctor, but right now, definitely an embarrassment.
Oh, boo.
Team embarrassment.
All right, so let's get to the interview portion of this. Give us your full name, your birth name, the one they said at the outdooring before they gave you the wine or water.
Okay, so my actual full name is, there's a little bit of a story to it, but I'll tell you my full name. It's Leah Efia Phobi Bidiakon. Bidiakon. However, the Leah actually... So when my dad, when my mom delivered me, my dad wanted to name me after my aunt. And how my dad does it is he gives you all their names, right? So my name would have been Comfort. I'm a
fool.
Sister Connie.
Okay. My mother's name. Yes.
Right. So however, I was born in Ghana, yes. But my parents moved to Nigeria. And brought myself and my older sister. Her name is Rachel. So in Nigeria, someone like one of my my parents' neighbors said to my mom, "Why would you name your daughter Comfort of all names? When you have another daughter, her name is Rachel, and Rachel and Leah are sisters in the Bible. So why don't you just call her Leah?" So that's how my name came about, and my parents changed my name to Leah.
Oh, wow. So what name do you go by now?
I definitely go by the Leah Ajinim Boateng. Phobi is my name as well. And then my dad gave me a pet name. Myself and my other sister were 6 months apart. We have two different moms. My dad gave us a pet name. So her, maybe I shouldn't say hers. Let me just say mine because she doesn't know her name. My dad called me Nyamimre.
Oh, wow. That is deep.
Yes. But my mom hated it. She thought it was a name for
them.
So she never calls me that. But my dad calls me Nyamimre. Phobi Nyamimre.
Nyamimre. And for the listeners that don't understand, Tree, what does Nyamimre mean?
Yes.
God's time, right?
God's time. God's time is best.
Yes.
Wow. So I guess what do people in your family and outside call you? So do people in your family call you Efia or everybody just calls you Leah?
My dad would call me Ama Phobi, right? Because remember, he named me after his sister.
So she was an Ama. Right. Okay.
Yes. And my mom calls me Phobi for sure. Okay. Unless she needs something. If she needs something, then it's Leah.
Well, she thinks the rougher side of you is nicer, or what?
I guess it must be. So when she needs something from me, she'll say, "Oh, Leah." But if she doesn't, for me, all the way.
Well, all right.
Yes.
Is there any particular meaning to any of your names? Or we know Sophia is a Friday born Akan, right? Female. Well, Nyamimre also we know is God's time. Any particular portion of your name that you want to give an explanation in terms of meaning?
I really love my last name. Well, my maiden last name, the Bidiapon, Asari Bidiapon. I guess the meaning of Asari, or they go together. I don't know how we say it in English, right? Asari,
Nimrani.
Yes. So my dad took both names together. And I particularly love the Bidiapon because it means warrior, God, strong and powerful. So I really love that name.
So you know her name. Don't bring her any drama.
Don't bring
her any war because she's a warrior.
She'll bring it to you. I love that. That's one of my favorite Akan names, Bidiakon. Just the literal Bidiakon. Yes. Like, right. Come and fight, basically.
Yes. Yeah, we come to conquer and to win. Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. Beautiful. So Leah, Miss Leah Efiafobi. As a child, what was the first thing that you wanted to be growing up? Like, what was the first thing that comes to mind?
Doctor.
Oh. Yes.
You're one of those, eh?
For sure.
Dr. Phoebe.
Oh, what happened? Eh? What did your parents think?
You know what? You know, all along, my parents were... I was very brilliant as a child. I wouldn't even lie.
And my parents,
to some extent, if I learn, I will know, right? My teachable, though, it's a whole different story right now. But growing up, you know, everybody was convinced that, you know, Phoebe was going to be a doctor. First of all, I have a big head. So definitely, I have a big brain. And also, I was out there. I learned. I enjoyed every bit of it. I think... You know, in high school is probably when that changed. And even in high school, I was still kind of holding true to it. I wanted to be a doctor or a lawyer, right? It changed then. And part of that was because my parents would always remind me what a big mouth I had. And I always have something to say. I'm trying to shy away from that, where it's like, you know, just because you know something doesn't mean it has to be put out there. Not always, anyways. But I was really outspoken and all of that. So my parents were like, you should be a lawyer, right? And I wasn't sure about the law thing, but I really wanted to be a doctor. So actually, in high school, I learned rather quickly that I wasn't going to be a doctor because my grades were not reflecting. Like, you know, when it came to sciences and that kind of stuff, math and all of that. So I thought the closest thing to being a doctor was becoming a nurse. So when I applied for undergrad, I applied for nursing.
Oh, right? Wow.
And then after first year, I quickly found out that I wasn't a nurse. It wasn't going to be a good fit for me. So during the summer break, I took two classes. I took social work and I took psychology, and I did really well in both. So the dean in psychology actually recruited me to go into psychology. Oh, wow. And that's how I ended up changing degrees.
Wow. So right now, what's your professional title and what do you do now? Since you wanted to be a doctor, nursing didn't work out. What do you do now?
Okay, so I'm a therapist or a counselor. We use it interchangeably. I counsel individuals and couples, and I also do some family work as well.
Oh wow!
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
And
that's pretty cool.
And I also know that you kind of have a business as well. What is that? And how does that fit into who you are right now as well?
Okay, so yes, I do. I do private practice, And I have my own career doing the counseling and all of that. Mm-hmm. But I also own my own business. I started a cookware business in 2019. Wow. And it's been going strong. We're pushing every year harder to get even bigger. We want to get to the place where, you know, I would do the counseling because I really love it, which I do. It's a passion of mine for sure.
Yeah.
But the cookware is another big part of me, and it's my baby as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. So why did you decide to pursue a career in being a therapist, being a counselor, counseling individuals, couples? What made you, what drove that?
Like I said, it was an accidental thing, right? I had no clue what psychology was, what social work was, none of that stuff. Even in high school, I don't think I came across that course. It was like, right. You know, it wasn't like I never dreamt of any of that stuff. It wasn't like, oh my gosh, I knew all along I was going to do that. Right. Again, it's only during summertime, summer school after first year that I discovered that. Like I said, I wanted to take some classes and see if there's something else that I could like, right? Or I would prefer over the nursing. And when I took that, those two courses, I did really, really well. So at the time, I didn't go with social work because, you know, when I did my research, what I learned was social workers were overworked and underpaid, right? So I was like, oh, I don't want to do that. I want to do the psychology. And then also with the dean approaching me and saying, hey, I think you're going to do better. And he looked at my nursing grades. The nursing classes, I was passing, no doubt. But the sciences and the math was kicking my butt. And, you know, who am I kidding? I don't even like blood. I can't make a bed. Like, how am I going to be a good nurse, right? So it made sense. When he told me, I said, okay, let's try that. Oh, wow. So I quickly changed my major, and that's how I landed here.
Wow.
Yes. And
so,
go ahead.
No. Finish your thoughts. Sorry.
I was going to say, over time from taking the psychology classes and, you know, learning more about the theories and stuff like that, I was really in love with how, you know, the brain works and how people see things and the perspectives and all of that stuff. And that's why I ended up even, you know, saying, hey, maybe we should pursue this, like, you know, after undergrad.
And I guess maybe if you can touch a little bit more into how did you get into, you know, I'm going to be a therapist, into setting up your own practice and running your own business.
Okay. So again, listen, there's not a ton of thought that I put into my decisions or my things, right? I don't want it to come across like, oh, she's so brilliant. She had this all planned out. None of that stuff.
She is.
fake modesty. We're going to break the fake modesty, but it's okay.
So I'll tell you, and then you can decide if I'm being modest or not. So I did do my undergrad in psychology. Mm-hmm. And after, you know, graduating like from my undergrad, I decided that I knew I wanted to do therapy, but I didn't want to go the psychology route. Mm-hmm. I wanted to try social work. And part of that is because social work doesn't look at just the individual. We're looking at everything. So you, in relation to the people in your community and the things that are available to you, all of that stuff. Because, I mean, over time, like, think about it. Someone could really want to do well. But if the structures around them is not set up well, they stand no chance. Yeah. Right. So that's part of the reason why I ended up doing my master's in social work. Right. So I did my master's in social work.
Wow. Nice.
Yeah. And you know what? It was a really good thing for me to do. First of all, it was easier. And I'll tell you why. Because I did my undergrad in psychology. Typically, when you do your master's in social work, you're now learning the psychological theories, right? Because you're going to be doing the clinical work. Right. So my master's was a breeze. I made the right decision by doing social work over maybe psychology, for example. And I graduated at 24 and moved to Calgary, actually on my graduation day, because I needed to get a job ASAP and start the money, right?
Yeah.
I know other people go to school for, you know, an MDA or all the things they could get out of it. But for me,
gotta get paid.
Yeah, it needs to pay me. Right, yeah. The degree needs to pay me. So I missed my master's graduation and I flew to Calgary to get a job.
Wow.
And I started working right away. I got a job with Government of Alberta and I worked with them for 11 years. So prior to getting the job, I was, I told myself, if I hit 10 years and I don't leave, then I'm going to be a lifer. But if I'm able to leave at 10 years and I want to do something else, and I knew that I wanted to do therapy all along, I ended up staying at, Government of Alberta for that long because I started my own family and it was easier, right? The convenience of knowing my schedule and all of that stuff. So once my daughter hit 6, it was go from there. And that's when I started, getting into counseling and all of that fun stuff.
Wow.
Quite the journey.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. And I think with that amazing journey, this is our brag section that we're going to get you back into to now. No fake modesty. We call it the highlight reel.
Yes.
Listing your accomplishments.
Like, listen, you've seen other people come on here. Okay.
Yeah, you've heard them.
You've heard them brag.
And you heard and you hear what we do to people who don't brag properly.
You don't take any
You've worked hard. You've worked hard. So now is the time for you to, share to the world a little bit, like, where is Leah come and what are some of the things that you've accomplished that we can look back at and say, these are things that we want to strive to as well.
Okay. So I mean, I guess coming from where I come from in Ghana and all of that, I think I've done lots, right? Because I'll tell you one quick funny story. So I met my husband in grade school. We were in grade 4 when we first met. And so we did school together. And then when I came at 13, of course, we were separated. I didn't know him. We didn't come back together until I was doing my master's. Wow. Anyway, so I lived in the Kumasi area. And then I moved to Accra when I was in grade 4. And that's how we met. So I wasn't very smart in grade 4 all the way until I came to Canada. When I, when I was in Ghana, just before moving to Canada, if you would have asked me what I wanted to be, I would have told you I wanted to be a seamstress. No shade to them. I think they do amazing work. And I love designing, even though I'm not creative. So that was my dream because I didn't think I could do even senior secondary school because I wasn't doing well in school then. The transition was really hard. I don't know why, but it was very hard. So if you asked me then what I would have been, I would have told you that I was going to be a seamstress. So I think I've come a long way being able to, do my undergrad, get a master's degree and all of that fun stuff. Right. So I think that is amazing. What else? I think even starting my private practice, because a year ago, I would have said, I'm going to wait for 5 more years or something like that. So I think that's a big deal too.
MSW. Mercy Cookware.
Yes.
Yeah.
Master Chef. I feel like you're forgetting some things, though.
Oh, she's forgetting so much. Leah, what do you have your degrees in? What schools did you go to? We want to hear those big schools, those big degrees.
Hey, so I actually don't have any big schools to mention. I went to Regina Patches High School.
Patches, yes.
And I did my undergrad at University of Windsor.
Windsor's a big school. What do you mean?
Yes. And then I did my master's in the States, at Wayne State University in Michigan.
Okay, nice.
Wow, nice.
Shout out to Wayne State.
Yes.
I almost did my residency there. That's pretty cool.
No way. That's so nice. Yeah. Well, it was easier for me because I lived in Windsor, so it was just right across the street.
Oh wow, that's perfect. And yeah, and I think you're also missing that you're a mother to children. You've been able to raise children while operating a business, while building a lovely career, while looking fabulous, all doing that at the same time. You're married.
Incredible.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. Right. I mean,
because I don't think those things are accomplishments, right? Oh.
There's somebody at church right now that is
pray for me.
I want children and a husband, please.
Yeah, okay, I guess if we see it like that, right? But I think, you know, when it comes to those things, it's really tricky, because I get to talk to a lot of wonderful people, and I think they will make fabulous, like, you know, partners and all of that. But I think it's just a matter of two people coming together at the right time, and that's why I don't think it's an accomplishment, right? It's not like I'm doing something super duper special to have my husband or to have my kids,
So no, that's true.
You are.
Listen,
I'll tell you this, and there are many accomplishments you can have in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to build a family is a blessing, mm-hmm. and takes skill and teaches you life skills you'll never learn in any other institution.
Mm.
No degree will teach you how to be a mom, mm-hmm. how to be a wife. Yeah. No degree is going to teach you how to learn to be a dad, how to comfort a child crying at 3 a.m. for reasons you can't even understand. This is without a doubt an accomplishment in and of itself. Yeah, I mean, I guess maybe we asked you to talk about career highlights and not just your life highlights.
But
definitely, I think is an accomplishment. Yeah.
And I think we also skipped over Mercy's cookware just a little bit too quickly.
My favorite.
That, come on, how many people have been able to develop a brand while they're simultaneously running another full-time business?
a
brand that is actually not just, oh, I have this little cookware thing up, but you're making money and you're everywhere. I think that is in itself that there's so many people that want to do that,
right?
But don't know how to start or even do that. So I think that's an accomplishment that you need to shout out yourself for, even
right. More. And you know what? You know, in all fairness, there's no I don't have any degree in business or anything like that. Mm. I've been blessed. My mom always did cookware. She always sold cookware growing up in Toronto. Some people even know my mom. So I had that connection, right? Mm. So in all fairness, I know that when I wanted to do the cookware business, I kind of wanted to start on my own so that my mom couldn't say, like, I gave you all these links, right? Because you know how moms will put you in your place whenever, right? So when I first started, I went out and searched for manufacturers and all of that stuff. And I quickly learned that my mom's connections were way better. So I came back and I said, Mom, please help me. And she did, right? So I can't say that, I started from scratch on my own or anything like that. It's always kind of been a part of me. It's always been a part of our family. And so it was a little bit easier picking it up from there. And I know that probably the only tip I could give to anybody is start wherever you are, right? So I knew I wanted to sell cookware. I didn't have a brand name or anything. I had no business plan, none of that stuff. I just got in touch with the manufacturers and I said, I want pots and I want to sell them. Give me some. And, you know, negotiated for over 5 months. And then we came to a number of pots that I was going to bring. And then after window and manufacturing is how I came up with the name for that set. And then the name for my business, right?
Oh, so wow.
I did mine very backwards. Don't do it like that. Wherever you go, I just start.
But it worked. And I think one thing that I'm super proud of you about is that, you know, a lot of our parents used to, you know, sell stuff like that, but nobody ever thought about building a brand.
Right.
Putting their name on it.
Yeah.
They just sold it and just say, you know, I'll get a manufacturer's and I'll just sell it.
Yeah.
I'll get this and I'll sell it. But what you've done for our generation is you put kind of a name to it. And I'm super proud of that.
Yeah. I feel like Mercy Cookware comes out with more lines than Tupac albums. Like they just, I feel like every.
That is the goal, okay?
Okay, so on that note, are there any setbacks that you've experienced as you move through your career, through building a business and building a brand?
lots. And, you know, so I'll say this. Again, I didn't know what I was doing. It just kind of came about, right? We kept evolving. And that's what we do as human beings, in all fairness. We're constantly changing. We're constantly evolving. And that's a great thing because setbacks, man, have there been. So again, like I said, I wanted to sell the cookware and spoke to the manufacturer, all of that stuff. We came to a number and then it was left with money, right? Yeah. Yeah. And I couldn't get any funding from the banks and stuff like that. Not because I have bad credit or anything like that. It's just, you know, they're like, what do you mean? Like, how are you going to do this? How are you
going to risky business?
Yeah.
Right. So I couldn't get any money from them. And I quickly gave up on that. So myself and my husband, we don't save money together. I know that's a whole different topic, but we don't. We do. Everybody is aware of what their contribution of the household is. Mm. And we do that. And then we keep our own money on the side. So he actually helped me. He was like, okay, I don't know what this is about, but I will invest in you. And he gave me $5,000. And then I pulled money from my savings a little bit. It's not very much. It was not a lot of money. And then the rest of the money came from credit card balance transfers, right? And that's how I started Mercy Cookware.
Wow.
Yes.
No, that's a huge tip in terms of investing in yourself.
Yeah. Right? And I think betting on yourself. Yes.
Yeah, a lot of us don't realize how important that is. That if you have a dream, it's good to have the dream. It's good to have like the plan, but yeah, are you willing to invest in yourself?
Yes.
Put your money where your
right.
mouth is.
Are you going to put your money where your mouth is? Exactly. That's exactly right.
Right. Right. Cause it was a huge risk. If I didn't sell the pots, I was going to have 100 sets of, you know, cookware. Yeah, there's no way I could cook in 100 sets of pots for my life, right? It was a huge risk. And I'm very happy and I'm grateful that it worked out.
We're proud of you.
Yes.
We're proud of you.
Super proud of you. And in terms of, and I guess pivoting back to your private practice as well, what has been the setbacks in terms of like challenges navigating from full-time employment with the government to your own practice as well?
Right. Okay. So again, I left Government of Alberta about close to 5 years ago. And then I ended up with Alberta Health Services. If you're in the Western region, in Alberta, to be exact. So that's another big organization. So I got a job there, and I took risks, right? Mm-hmm. I was at Government of Alberta. I had a great job. I had good holidays. I can't believe I gave them up. And then I just woke up one day and decided, I've been here for 11 years. How did I make it through 11 years? I gotta go, right? I need to do something else. And then I remembered all of a sudden, I actually went to school because I wanted to be a therapist and not stuck in an organization like that. So I decided I was going to get a part-time gig with Alberta Health Services doing therapy. Mm-hmm. And I got the job, and it was my dream job. It's still my dream job. If I could get that job back, I would take it. But I couldn't keep that job because it was only 6 days in a month worth of it. And at that time, I was broke. I was in no financial place to be making pay cuts. So I was banking on Government of Alberta allowing me to do both jobs. And they decided no. And it makes sense why, for their organizational goal.
Yeah.
But it didn't make sense for my personal goal. So that's how I ended up leaving Government of Alberta. It wasn't like I planned it well. I just decided, screw you guys. If you're not going to let me live my dream, I'm out of here. Mm-hmm. So then I applied for another job. I couldn't take that particular job that I wanted, but I got a full-time gig, but that was a contract job. So I took that job, knowing that in a year, I probably wouldn't have a job. There's a possibility there.
Wow.
So when I got to AHS, that is when life actually began for me. Because then, you know, things got real. I need to make sure I have, like I said to you, we save money separately. I need to make sure that I bring in my portion of my, you know, my contribution. And so I quickly learned that I needed to do something else. And that's how Mercy for Gore came about as well. Wow. Because wow. I didn't know if I was going to have a job. So I needed to create my own job.
Wow.
So I did keep the AHS job. I did a few contract positions before I finally landed a permanent position. And when I got that permanent position, in everybody's eyes, it was like, yes, you finally made it.
Yeah.
However, that's when I was like, no, I can't do this. Mm. I wasn't lined up really well, like in terms of the people, my colleagues and my leaders and all of that stuff. Yeah. So I had to make a quick decision again, right?
Wow.
And I decided earlier this year that I wasn't going to make it, like for my own mental health, right? Because that's the line of work that I'm in. So I decided that I needed to just, you know, believe in myself and bite the bullet and start private practice.
Wow.
And believe me, it's the best decision I've made so far in my life. So if we're talking about accomplishments, probably that's on my top.
Wow.
Impressive. Wow. Very impressive.
So how do your parents, so I guess from being, you know, first you wanted to be a doctor to being, I don't think I'm smart enough, I want to be a seamstress, to coming here, maybe I'll be a nurse, to maybe I'll be a social worker. Like, how do your parents view you right now in terms of what you're doing and also the businesses that you're building as well?
Right. So I'll say to you, you know, when I was in Ghana and I was struggling in Accra for school and stuff like that, my parents had no idea. Like, you know, I wasn't talking to them like that. They never called me and said, hey, how are you doing in school? I don't think it ever happened. I think they just assumed, you know, from being a child that I was so smart, that I was smart forever. Right?
Going to change. Everything will fall in place.
Right. So for them, they're like, why are you still not a doctor right now?
Right.
they think I have all the capabilities to become a doctor.
Yeah.
But they are proud of me. I believe they are proud of me. Like, you know, amongst my dad's children, my mom's children, and my mom's family, I don't know very much about my dad's. I like to think so, but I'm probably the first person with a master's degree.
Wow, right.
I got my degree first. I got my master's first, so I'm still kicking their butt.
Good for you.
These are the accomplishments you forgot to mention.
Right? That you're bragging at the wrong time. We gave you a chance. Okay, so the perfection equation is when passion meets purpose, you experience pleasure in your career. Would you say you're there right now?
I'll say yes.
What do you love most about your career, would you say?
Honestly, I still do therapy because I think it's such a beautiful thing. I learn every day, every single day from my clients, right? And I think a lot of times people go to therapy thinking, I'm going to learn something, right, from them.
Yeah.
I get more out of it than they would ever get out of me. Mm-hmm. And part of it is, you know, a lot of times we're thinking about why me? Why is this happening to me? Yeah. Life sucks. And then you hear someone else's and you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
Right? And it's just amazing how resilient human beings are, right? So every single day I walk out of here feeling blessed and feeling like, you know, wow, like this is something else that I could be doing, or this is something else that, you know, I should be proud of. But, you know, what I've learned from human beings is, you know, that we're very, very resilient and strong. There's nothing that we cannot do. And honestly, a lot of times when people come here, they know what they want to do, right, with themselves, with their lives, and all the decisions that they need to make. It's just we need to hear ourselves think, right? A lot of times we never have an opportunity to talk to ourselves, right? So maybe we could start doing that, right?
Yeah.
When you're in the car, talking to yourself, what am I doing? What's going on? Reflecting back and forth. And I think that's what we do. Like, my job solely is to facilitate space for people to take care of themselves.
It's like you're a mirror and you're reflecting sort of their thoughts and their feelings.
Right.
Giving them that space to do that.
Yes.
That's amazing. So I guess practically, how would an immigrant child or kid, you know, get into this field, get into this space. And especially because we have this stigmatization of, oh, my son wants to go into psychology, he'll never find a job. My son wants to go into social, they'll never find a job. Right. But you've been able to make it work. Like, what are some of practical advice and, you know, path that they can follow to get there?
I mean, I think, so like I said to you, I did my undergrad in psychology, you know, and for me, when I first started learning about the theories, I was, you know, I was in love and I knew that I wanted to be a therapist, right? Right after I was exposed to it. So it was, you know, it was easy. All I needed to do was get good grades enough to be able to apply for a master's, right? After my undergrad. I know when I told my dad that I was changing degrees, he was like, what? You come all the way here to work with mad people. Why? Right? And little does he know, there's a little bit of madness in all of us. We all have a bit of it, right? So he still doesn't get it. Like, you know, he tells me when if I complain, you know, in a day, because of clients or anything, he's like, well, you chose to work with crazy people.
Like we chose.
that's your path. He's like, if there are no crazy people, you will have no work. He's very funny, but he's very proud of me too, just so you know. He's full of jokes though. So you just need to have an undergrad, get an undergrad, get good grades, get your master's done. Honestly, I think master's was a lot easier than undergrad, because, you know, my understanding of why that is because everybody that gets there has already made it and they've already shown that, you know, they can do it. So I think the work there is a little bit easier. Yeah. Undergrad is a little harder because you're learning everything from scratch, right? Yeah. So don't be disappointed in yourself because you're not doing well in 102 classes, right? Mm-hmm. Keep pushing. You're going to make it. It's like, I don't think there are any smart people. I think if you learn, you're gonna know, and it's gonna be easier if you put in the work. So that's probably my biggest tip.
And I guess a follow up to that is, how would an immigrant that's going through this space find, you know, avenues to set up their own practice or start their own business? What are some of the things that they should keep in mind and things that they should do?
Right. Okay. So when it comes to like private therapy, for example, you know, if you're already, like, if you have the degree already, you have your master's, you're already registered, you can start your private practice. You're going to have to put yourself out there. And part of that is, you know, going around and soliciting for business, right? So for myself, I work for an insurance company. I work for two insurance companies. And they send me clients and I help prepare them to put them back to work. And then for private practice, there are so many avenues out there. I love Alberta because Alberta is still very green, right? This opportunity is still there to build yourself up and get yourself up there, right? So, you know, when I first quit my job, I was scared about, am I going to make enough money? However, there's never been a month that I haven't achieved my goal and I'm able to travel in there too, right? Yeah, the only thing I miss about working for someone is not being able to call in sick. So that is the only thing I miss. But other than that, there are so many avenues to put yourself out there. If anybody's thinking about doing private practice, if you're in Alberta, you can certainly reach out to me. I don't mind. I'll share some stuff with you. I just don't want to put out names only because they haven't asked me to do that. And I'm not going to advertise for free. So
Absolutely. So what is next for Leah? So in your career, your private practice, and also even Mercy Cookware and what you're doing. And also, it seems like you have so much ideas and so much, but like, are there other business ideas you're working on? What's next for you?
Listen, I have a million and one ideas. I think I have ADHD. I just haven't been diagnosed. the ideas are many. Many. And if other people have ideas and you don't want to do it, share it with me. I may want to do it. What I say about what I want to do is I still don't know what I want to be when I grow up. Again, I'm constantly evolving.
Yeah.
Right now, all that I know is I love therapy and everything about it. So with regards to my private practice, I'm still picking up new theories and learning new things that I could do to help my clients in that way. When it comes to Mercy Cookware, I want to be where Martha Stewart is, right? So I don't want it to just be in the kitchen. I want to move into home and any area. Like, man, I have lots of ideas. And I think I can't do a lot of my ideas because I have to make sure that it's something that I absolutely love and I'm passionate about. Right. So I could say that I want to do makeup because I love makeup and I love looking good and getting a makeover and all of that stuff. But there are a lot of things when it comes to makeup that I don't know. So I don't think it's fair for me to act like I know it all in that area. I think the cookware worked for me because I actually like cooking, right? And I love being in the kitchen, hosting, entertaining, that kind of stuff. I'm not going to. The reason why I said I wanted to do away with outdooring or
wedding,
a wedding is because I don't like being in this. Like I've never pictured myself walking down some aisle with people watching me or like holding a baby and dancing in between people. Oh my goodness, I would die first than do that. However, when it comes to being in the midst of everybody and we're all enjoying and I can do that, right? That is in a nutshell. Like I have lots of ideas. Every day I stop and I look at some of them. Can I do this now? No, let's put it on the back burner and we'll get to
next.
It.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh wow.
All right. So where can people find you? Where can we find
Everywhere.
drop some of your social media handles so we know where to find.
So on Instagram, you can find me at Mercy Cookware & Co. You just have to type that in all together, MercyCookware. You can find me at Mercy Cookware on Facebook as well. My personal Facebook handle is Fubi Nyamimre. I'm on my max though. So I don't know if I can add you, but you can follow me.
At this stage, you're a big woman. We're going to have to get you one of those professional follow the check one so people can follow you.
Verified.
Verified account.
It's very boring though. Like my personal page is very, very boring. My Instagram page is more fun. My Facebook business handle is more fun. I think I put more on there than I do my personally. So, yeah.
No, that makes sense. No. So Sal, yes, Doc, sir. Phrase of the day, if you can repeat it for us.
Yes, our phrase of the day was Yenom San Nefa Juni, which is why we drink, we scheme, we think, we plot. And I'll throw it to the two of you.
Oh, man. This is, I think you picked the perfect one for the, like, and for me, what I take from it is from her story of wherever she's at, she's always thinking of what's the next play. What am I doing next? Right. So while she's in the moment of.
Can I do all of that? By the way?
She's just thinking of what's the next avenue for me? Where can I maximize what God has given me? And I really, really, I love that about Leah, right? It's just, you haven't settled for the, yes, I'm a therapist or I'm good, but it's like, how can I maximize what am I doing and what God has given me in terms of my skills and my talent? And I love that. I love that. That's what I get from it.
Yeah. And probably what I would take from that is, you know, I don't waste any opportunities, right? And I reached out to both of you guys privately too. And yes, I may have not taken, like, just because I haven't taken a decision doesn't mean that is still not on that, you know, on board for me. Every chance I can, I learn right now, right? You know, when the stars and some of the affluent people say, I don't watch TV, I really didn't understand that until now. And I'm like,
Yeah, I know.
I wish I could sit down for like
the time, the time's not there. The time's just right. Not there.
And I remember before my Facebook, all you see is, you know, every like my sisters come together and we'll open a bottle of wine and we'll turn on live and we just have fun and do nothing. Yeah. I wish I could do some of that today.
Yeah, right? Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah, but yeah. I every opportunity I take, I learn, right?
Yeah.
People I talk to, you better believe I'm learning from them or it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. Doc, what do you...
My understanding of it is essentially, you know, so someone who's drinking might be, you know, a little bit tipsy, but you don't lose perspective, right? While we're incapacitated, we can still think about what's next. While we lose this opportunity, we can still think, what other doors open? What else can I do? So, you know, don't be stuck and sad in just your moment. Even if you have setbacks, just think, what else can be done? What else can I do?
Right.
So that's, I think, what I take from it.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's amazing. Deep and amazing. Leah, this is where we get to our mic drop moment.
Yes.
If you were to meet 17-year-old Leah, Efiafobi, what one piece of advice would you give her from all you've learned so far?
Everything always works out, right? And there's nothing special that you're going to do. Just keep going the course.
I
love that, right? Oftentimes we think about our life either going towards one big monumental decision we're going to make that's going to change all our lives,
or everything.
One big action we do that. No, but it's just being steady and consistent.
Yeah, it's a combination of small decisions.
Yeah, I love it.
Small decisions every day. What have you learned, Sam?
Oh, what have I learned from Leah today? And
yes,
I didn't know you wanted to be a seamstress, but it makes, but it's funny.
Have you seen her outfit?
I was about to say that, like, now it makes sense. It clicks with me in terms of, like, when I see your fashion sense, when I see it, I'm like, why aren't you a
seamstress? She's always stylish.
Why aren't you? Yeah, like, how stylish you are. And I'm like, maybe that's a business idea you should work on. I love that.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh my gosh. Yeah, honestly, thank you so much for coming to sit and talk with us. We learned so much. I'm sure our listeners will learn so much more from listening to you. And I can't wait to see what you have in store. You know, I'm waiting for the Mercy Cookware next line, what it's going to look like. You know, I'm anticipating that again, like the next Tupac album. It's something else.
Yeah, no, I feel like there's so much of you that we didn't even get to touch into.
We need a part two.
I want to do a part two, especially around therapy, right?
Because
as a community, we don't really look, as you mentioned, your dad's like, oh, you want to work on that? But we don't realize that that's just something we all need.
Yes.
And it'd be a great conversation to have, you know, from there as well. So appreciate you coming and look forward to chatting further after this.
Thank you. Let's give some shout outs.
Yes, special credit to the Africa Center for supporting this season and for being
absolutely thank you
and for your
to Mercy Cookware
for
supporting us and all the love
being,
we appreciate
it, a big supporter always. Big shout out to producer David for always your help.
King Dave you're the man.
Big shout out to all our listeners, our fans, and
thank you
for always being supportive, always engaging, and giving us all these great ideas. And to you, Leah, most importantly, for taking the time to share your story with us and our listeners. We really appreciate you. We really
appreciate it.
You being so candid, so open, and so available, right? We love the discussion.
We look forward to the therapy. We need it.
Absolutely. we have to do, I think we have to do every season, we have to do one therapy session.
Right? Just a therapy session, a global therapy session. We'll pick a topic that everybody gets bothered by, we'll do it.
We'll do it. We got to bring Leah on to help us talk it through and get some healing, because we need some of that at times.
Absolutely. All right, y'all. Until next time, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.